Luke 24, verse 44, hallelujah. See, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were what? Written in the law of Moses, And Jesus, everything he achieved was what was written. In fact, all of Scripture was pointing to Jesus. Every Scripture from the very first verse. So he said, these are the things, you know, the things must be fulfilled according to what is written in the law of Moses in the prophets. See, the law of Moses has to do with the first five books of the Bible, isn't it? And all the prophets, and then the Psalms concerning me. Keep going. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. Amen. On the third day. That is, it was written concerning me that Christ will come, he will suffer, that is, he will be crucified, and that on the third day he will raise from the dead. And that had already happened because Jesus is speaking to them after he had risen from the dead. So this has happened. But there's still something that needs to happen. And so he says to them, verse 47, and that repentance or remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48. And you are witnesses of these things. So Jesus is speaking to people because after Jesus rose from the dead, he walked on earth for many weeks. People saw him. He still performed miracles, hallelujah, after he rose from the dead. And he's telling the disciples, you are witnesses that it was written concerning me. You are witnesses that I came and I died. You are witnesses that I rose from the grave. I rose from the dead because they are looking at me. I rose. Then he goes on, verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of the Father, you see. After my death and my resurrection, there's still one more significant thing to happen for the fulfillment of God's word, for the fulfillment and for the birth of the church. I send the promise of the Father. I want you to mark that statement, the promise of the Father. That is, this is something the Father had promised upon you. Another time I want you to notice is upon you. But tarry, that is, remain, stay in the city of Jerusalem until you are what? Endued. So Jesus is with them. Jesus has died. Jesus has risen from the grave. But they are not yet endued with power. I would have thought that with Jesus, they would have been endued with power. No? Because there is still the third person of the Trinity to come. And when the third person of the Trinity comes, that's when the completion will happen, and that's when power will be released. So he says, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued. Other translations call it to be clothed with power from on high. Power. Amen. I'm talking about the Spirit upon. Spirit upon. He said the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, will do what? Come upon you. Upon you. You know, as believers, we have the Spirit of God in us. There is a difference between the Spirit of God in you and the Spirit of God upon you. The Spirit upon. It is when the Spirit comes upon you that power is released. Amen? So Jesus is saying to the disciples, you should wait, tarry in Jerusalem. Don't try to go and preach to anybody. You cannot live without power. You cannot survive. You cannot live a successful Christian life without help. You need help. And the help is yet to come. And I'm letting you know that everything that I have fulfilled is written. The promise of the Father is also written. You know, the Holy Spirit has always been. But it needed to live in us permanently and to rest upon us. What happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you? Power is released. Without the Holy Spirit, our lives will be powerless. We need help. I said we need help. You know, a lot of times we try to wiggle through life without help. In fact, we seek help in the wrong places. You know, Jesus could have said, well, when I leave, go and consult your friends. Go and consult the teachers. Go and look for the pastors. Go and look for the priests. Tell me who the help is. The help is the Holy Spirit and is worth waiting for. Hallelujah. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them. Now, this is a very strong word, isn't it? He commanded them. He didn't suggest to them. He didn't make it, you know, if you have time. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Now, this must be a serious business. I would have thought their learning under Jesus for 3.5 years would have qualified them to go. No, not enough. You need power. He said, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Says it again. The promise of the Father is what the Father has promised, which he said, you have heard from me. That is, I've talked about the promise of the Father to you several times. Keep going. It says, for John truly baptized you with what? With water. Water baptism is very important, very significant for every believer. When Jesus compares, you know, because there's a similarity between water baptism and the Holy Spirit baptism. We need both. That's why Jesus, you already know about water baptism, but you need this one. This had never happened. No one had ever received, you know, in this way that they were going to receive it. It's never happened. So he's letting them know, I wanted to see the same way that water baptism works, that's the same way that a spirit baptism works. Say, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Say, baptized. With the Holy Spirit. And he told them, he said, not many days from now. And what day was that? It was a day of Pentecost. So they're waiting. You know, this is something that they were eagerly waiting for. And don't forget, when Jesus leaves, there's going to be panic. They're going to be afraid. Even the 3 days I was in the grave, there was panic among them. There was fear among them. They're thinking the master has gone. The one that we could trust, we could depend on has gone. Now we are vulnerable. Do you know, without the Holy Spirit, you are vulnerable in this life? That's why Jesus said to them, don't try to go anywhere without the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. He said he will be with you. He will baptize you with what? With the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Let me just pause to let you know that the Spirit upon, you know, in water baptism, what happens? The water is upon you. Water baptism doesn't make you a Christian, a believer. You have to be a believer first. Then you get baptized. Hallelujah. So if you are not a believer, if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are not qualified to be baptized in water. So why is water baptism necessary then if you're already a believer? Because water, you are going into water. You see, when you receive Jesus as Lord, it's a personal thing. You can do it in your room. You can do it. You do it alone. It's one-on-one. But water baptism is your public declaration to everyone. That what I declared with my mouth, what I've said, receiving Jesus in my life, I am publicly identifying and letting the whole world know that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And so what needs to happen to identify with Christ, as Jesus went in the grave, when you go into the water, you are like identifying with his death. You're not just saying it, you are putting it to practice. So you go into the water, Christ died. And then you rise up from the water, it means that Christ rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And it's a very powerful thing. Even though it's a physical exercise, it's a powerful spirit. Your life will change from then on. Hallelujah. But the water is on you. The same thing happens with the baptism with the Holy Spirit. What happens is that the Spirit of God comes upon you. So you are baptized. He overwhelms you. He floods you. He comes upon you and power is released. It is when the Spirit of God comes upon you that power is released. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 14. John 14. So the Spirit of God is the help that you need in life. Without the Holy Spirit, you do not have help. He is the help. He is the one that we need to be aware of. The Spirit of God in us and on us. You know, I like the word upon because it means up and on. Hallelujah. Up and on. The Spirit of God is upon me. Upon me. John 14. Jesus still talking about the Holy Spirit. Says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. I want you to just, as we read this, I want you to see that it must mean that you need this helper. For Jesus to keep repeating it again and again, it is so important that as a believer, you must not leave one breath of your life without the Holy Spirit. Because it is so crucial, so important, your life changes when you acknowledge the Holy Spirit. You know, I like what our scripture says, the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the what? The fellowship, fellowship. Fellowship means sharing, communion of the Holy Spirit. He said, be with you. It has to be. It is because you are not acknowledging the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus expected the disciples to look on the Holy Spirit as their help. Looking at my parents, you know what? I like what David said. He said, though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me in. Hallelujah. That is an understanding that I've got help. Thank God for mothers. Thank God for fathers. But you know, people can let you down. But God will never, ever let you. In fact, God does not expect us to depend on people. And that's why he keeps reciting it. These people had families. They had parents. They had children. But when it concerns God, he's given us help. And that help is the Holy Spirit. Parakletos. He's saying that he's a helper who is exactly the same as me. Exactly the same. The same help you will get from having. It's like having your own Jesus with you every day. The Holy Spirit. Your own personal Jesus. In fact, Jesus, I think it was in John 16, he says, it is to your advantage that I go away. It is expedient that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come. You see, it's a plan of God that Jesus will come, and when he has gone back to heaven, the Holy Spirit will descend, and it will be your personal Christ. So he says, alloy parakletos, another helper who is just like me. That is, anything you can get from me, you can get from the Holy Spirit. Whew. So can you imagine if Jesus was with you every day? If you had a headache, would you worry? No? No? Jesus is waiting in my living room. I have to rush quickly. You catch the number. What bus? The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person. He is the third person in the Trinity. And so he says to them, another helper that he may do what? Abide with you for how long? You know, the Holy Spirit had always been, but he had never been with people forever in the Old Testament. He will come and he will go. He will do what he wants to do and then he will go. But this is different now. That's why you've got to tarry. You've got to wait until the day of what? Pentecost. Keep going. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So the same thing. Now, if people say, well, but what do I need the Spirit upon? Because I'm already a Christian. Yes, the Spirit is for Christians. It says the world can't receive, just like the world can't get baptized in water, the world can't receive the Spirit of God coming upon. They can't. It is for believers. If you are a believer and you're not conscious of the Spirit of God upon you, you've been going about helpless. This is serious. And so it says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. See, I know him. Hallelujah. Because he dwells with you, and I will be in you. Hallelujah. Now, I want to notice the next verse. Notice the next. It says, I will not leave you as what? As orphans. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are like what? An orphan. Now, do you know what orphans go through? I was speaking this morning about this, but I'm really, in my spirit, I sense the Lord saying there's people here, you need to adopt orphans. Why would Jesus use the word orphan here? He's letting you know that orphans go through a lot. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. I wish that believers will rise up more. An orphan, I was going through, anyone can harm them. They don't have support, they don't have care, they don't have safety, they don't have protection. You know, you can imagine a child that has been born, when a baby is born. Thank God for wonderful mothers. And you know, we're not even condemning people who give up their babies. You know, so you have a baby. If somebody doesn't find that baby, what do you think will happen to the baby? The baby dies. That comes to orphans. And then orphans, even the ones who are in orphanages, we are told that they go through a lot of traumatic, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. They experience anxiety to a level that you can never imagine. You know, when I was reading there, I was thinking, thank God, you should thank God that you have father and mother. You know, we take our parents for granted. Don't we? No, maybe you don't. Amen. You shouldn't. Amen. Sometimes you do. They go through so much. I'm continuing to repeat this because God needs to touch somebody's heart to reach out to orphans. They go through a lot. They need help, safety, food, many things. But then if you look at it, he's saying to them, without the Holy Spirit, you are just like an orphan. You are exposed to trauma, exposed to damage, exposed to violence. Anything that the enemy wants to achieve, he can achieve it because you are without help. You are like an orphan. But Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. Amen. Hallelujah. He knows our vulnerability. He knows that we're going to become vulnerable. The disciples will become vulnerable. While Jesus was with them, start with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were on their case every day with Jesus with them. Who was defending them? Jesus. So he's going to send them another helper. Hallelujah. You need the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Spirit of God upon me. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8 once again. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has done what? Has come upon you. So the power doesn't come until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is where I'm going. And this power is the power to handle every situation in life. Every situation that Jesus was able to handle for them, the Spirit of God will give you the power. And this power, the Greek word, is dunamis. The word dunamis means miraculous power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive what? Miraculous power. It also means dynamic power. Remember the word dunamis is where we get the word dynamic. That's where we get the word dynamo. When you say something is dynamic, what do you mean? It means it has many qualities. It's able to do many things. It's able to achieve a lot of things. If I say you're a dynamic person, you're a dynamic businessman, dynamic worker, dynamic anything I say you are dynamic, it means you are multifaceted. There's a multifacetedness about you. There's a dynamism about you. There's something special about you. Well, you want to be dynamic when you receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you are able to achieve anything. Not because you are, because you have now received what? Power. Hallelujah. You know, if you can gain this confidence, your life will change forever. It says you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and they will become witnesses. So this dunamis power, this power can heal the sick. This power that are naughty. This power can help you to pass your exams. I want to hear a big amen. 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 The power, because it's dynamic, the power can solve marital problems because it is dynamic. Oh, thank you, Master. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, or after the Holy Spirit, has come upon you. Glory, glory, glory to God. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Let's look at one of the things the Holy Spirit has done. Let's look at Jesus. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. When Jesus came, did he recognize the importance of the Holy Spirit? When he entered the temple at the beginning of his ministry, he entered the temple and they gave him what? The books to read. Where did he open to? He turned it and opened to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 61. And he began to quote Isaiah. Why? Is it an error? No, it's on purpose. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon. I cannot do this work without the Spirit upon. Was the Spirit of God in him? Oh, yes. He's in you. There's power in you. But the power is released when the Spirit of God comes upon. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel. You see, the Spirit of God anoints you. He rubs himself on you. To anoint means to rub. You know, it's like you rub cream. He rubs himself. That's why some other translations say he clothes. He just overwhelms you. So his power becomes your power. He said, the Spirit of God is upon me. Look at the benefit of has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. What would be good news to somebody who is poor? If I was going to preach good news to you if you are poor, I would say to you that you are what? Let the poor say. Let the weak say. No, some people say Jesus only preached to the poor. No, if you are poor physically, you are poor mentally. In fact, without Christ, you are poor. Real poverty is spiritual poverty. And so he will preach to the people. Or how is he going to do it, please? How did Jesus preach? How did he preach? Because the Spirit of God was upon him and he anointed. So preach. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I told you the power is dynamic. On the one hand, he's able to bring riches to those who are poor. On the other hand, he's able to do what? To heal the broken. So if you are here this morning, or you are watching online, you're listening to the message, and you are brokenhearted, this power will heal you today. In the name of Jesus, You know, there are many things that cause people to be brokenhearted, family issues, you know, whatever issues that we're going through, health issues, financial issues, relationship issues that make people brokenhearted. The power is available to heal it. He said, to recovery of sight to the blind. That is, those who are blind physically and those who are blind spiritually. Now, don't limit this power. You know, some people say, oh, no, that is just talking about only spiritual blindness. No, it includes physical blindness. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you don't think it includes it, you are limiting this power. You're saying this power is not dynamic enough. And even if you have your eyesight is having issues with the eyesight, the Spirit of God will come upon you today and it will heal that sight in Jesus' name. To set at liberty those who are what? Those who are oppressed. Can you see how dynamic this power is? Setting those people free. If you are feeling oppressed by anything, by any challenge. Next verse. Or keep going. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That means the year of God's favor. That God's favor has come upon you today. In the name of Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke 1. The Spirit upon. Jesus said the Spirit of God is what? He's upon me. Upon me. Hallelujah. Then Mary said to the angel. Mary was a virgin. She's never had a child. It's never happened before and it will never happen again. Hallelujah. Praise God. The angel came and said to her that you're going to give birth to the Messiah, the Christ. So Mary said to the angel, how can this be? How is it going to happen? Since I do not know a man. Next verse. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will do what? Come upon. That's how the power is released, when he comes upon you. So the virgin birth happened because the Spirit of God came upon. That's why Jesus said, tarry at Jerusalem, because you will be endued with power when what? The Holy Spirit has come upon you. Notice what happened to Peter and the disciples after the Holy Spirit came upon them. You know, Peter, before the Holy Spirit came upon him, when they took Jesus, three times, how many times? What did he do? Why would you deny Jesus? Fear. Fear. They've taken the master. I'm in trouble. So he didn't have a helper. So he began to deny. In fact, a little girl came to him and said, sir, you are one of them. He said, me? I've never seen him. What's happening? Fear. You see, fears come when you don't have a helper. But after, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up. Jesus said, the Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel. See, do you know I was a very shy person growing up? And I used to find it difficult to stand in public in front of people. I just didn't want it. I just didn't like it. So even as I was growing up as a believer, I liked to walk behind the scene. I would do anything as long as you don't bring me up. And then the pastor in the church that I was serving said, he's going to ordain me as a pastor. Ask my wife. I said, no chance. Pastor? It means I will have to come in front. No chance. But I was not conscious of the Holy Spirit. When you become conscious of the Holy Spirit, it's not you anymore. It is the Spirit of God overshadowing you and overwhelming you and speaking the words of power through your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today you are delivered from timidity. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of timidity again to fear. Again to fear. They call you out to speak. I'm not mocking you. I was like you. When they call you to speak, what should you be aware of? Be conscious that the Spirit of God is what? Upon. You've got to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Jesus acknowledged it. He didn't come there and just, he said, no, the Spirit of God is of, he acknowledged. The Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge him, and then he will direct your path. If you don't acknowledge him, he can't direct you. So you've got to acknowledge that the Spirit of God is upon you. If you are sick in your body, acknowledge that the Spirit of God is upon you. He says, he has anointed me to heal. Praise God. You know, we run to people that we shouldn't run to too quickly. Who should we go to first? The Holy Spirit. The thing is, hallelujah. You may ring somebody if you phone a friend. Even if they pick the phone, they say, oh, here she comes again. On the other line, oh. But the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, he gives without rebuking you. Hallelujah. Okay, keep going. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power. Can you see? Spirit upon and power. They go together. That's how Jesus was born. Spirit came upon Mary and the power over what? The power of the highest will overshadow you. Is this important? Do you need the Holy Spirit upon you? Oh, yes. We've read Luke. Go to Genesis. Chapter 1. Genesis 1. You can't go better than the beginning. Amen. At creation, how did God make the earth, the heavens and the earth? Look at it. In the beginning, God did what? He created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form. Notice this, was without form. It was shapeless. It was formless. It was void. And there was what? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then what happened now? The Spirit of God moved. How? Upon. The way creation happened was that the Spirit of God was upon. Now, catch this, brothers and sisters. Do you know the Spirit of God is here? When God knew that the Spirit of God was upon, that's when he spoke. He didn't speak until he knew the Spirit is upon. You know what you do? If you see anything, maybe your life or your home, your family, your studies, your work, your career is without shape, is without form, it is empty. You know, someone say, oh, my life. You know what you will do? You will say what you are seeing. You say, look at my life. People need to pity me. The economy. I can't pay my bills. I can't do this. I can't do that. Because you are not aware that the Spirit of God is upon. If you are aware that the Spirit of God is upon, your language will change. You know, I was sharing this morning. You see, I was in the army. You see, we used to wear, you can wear mufti clothes when you're not doing any ceremonial thing. You wear mufti, and that's what they call civilian clothes. You know, in the army, anything civilian, you don't want it. In fact, the Bible talks about, you know, a soldier in the army. They say anyone who has been called into the service as a soldier, he does not do what? Engage in civilian affairs. That's scripture. You are a soldier of Christ. You are not to love civilian affairs. And I'm not saying this. So as a soldier, you so much love. You see, so if you went anywhere in your mufti, M-U-F-T-I, civilian clothes, you can do things anyhow. You can probably talk. And that's why officers that misbehave is when they are what? In civilian clothes. The day you put on your uniform, once I'm in uniform, I'm a different person. You talk differently. You see, maybe you are in civilian clothes, you are walking like this. When you are in uniform, no more. Sharp. Everything is sharp. In fact, people say to me that I march instead of walk. It's in the blood. Amen. Once a soldier, don't mess with a soldier. So once I'm in uniform, especially in ceremonial dress, I'm a different human being. It's like a new power has come upon me. But I'm the same person when I was wearing mufti. But then the uniform has come upon me. The authority of the army has come upon me. Don't you know that you're a soldier of Christ? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the authority of heaven has come upon you. Amen. The backing of heaven. But you've got to be aware of it. That the Spirit of God is upon me, just like Jesus. Yeah. I'm a different person now. Samuel said to Saul, he said, when the anointing comes on you, you'll become a different man. You'll be changed. Brothers and sisters, you are not ordinary. The only reason you are looking ordinary is because you are not conscious that the Spirit of God is upon. How can I wear a uniform and become different? Then I can wear the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit consumes you. He comes upon you. He overwhelms you. Anything you couldn't do before, you begin to do it. You know, in that uniform, when we used to go on holiday, I used to go to the village. Oh, my God. I was terrorizing people. I would just take off one day, wear the uniform. I'm on holiday. And I would just walk down one street, and everybody, they are shaking. Say, yes, I've got the power. Glory to God. That's how you should be like. When the Spirit comes upon you, something comes upon you. Hallelujah. Glory. You've got the power. I've got the power. Because the Holy Spirit is upon me. Go ahead and give God a big hand. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Say, Father, I thank you. Thank you. Go ahead. Just thank God. Thank God that the Spirit is upon me. Woo! Oh, I'm conscious. I'm aware. I acknowledge the Spirit of God is upon me. Kore bro zekaya baba baba. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I am empowered. Dynamic power is working. It's working in my life. Because you're upon me. I acknowledge you. I know that the Spirit of God has descended and is upon me. The same power that brought creation. The same power that gave birth to the Lord Jesus. Oh, Karababa. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is upon me. Is upon me. Glory to God. Is working dynamic in my life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to call out to anyone out there. If you're here, at home, or you're watching this broadcast, later on, if you're here, you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The power is here to bring salvation. You've heard the word, Jesus died, and on the third day he rose. I want you to pray this prayer after me to receive him into your heart to be your Lord and your Savior. That is what guarantees your future. That is what guarantees that when you depart this earth, you will live forever with the Father in heaven. So if you're that person, just pray this prayer after me. This will be the best choice and the biggest decision you could ever make in life. Say, Father, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die for me on the cross. Jesus came. He took my shame. He took my pain. He took my guilt. And he took my sin. And he nailed it to the cross. On the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. I receive you, Jesus, because I believe you. I believe all that you have done for me. I receive you into my heart as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. If you pray that prayer, you can email us at info@lwrc.org.uk. We'll contact you to give you more information, or you can speak to any of our ministers. Hallelujah. Praise.